You are the essence of God. It has its own way of manifesting. That Holy Ghost which becomes your constant companion is always invisible. And the substance of it is your living essence. It is very important that you know yourself not as a person, not as a form, not as a body, not as a human mind. Not as a point on the map. Not as a collection of atoms or molecules, not as 150 or 60 or 70 or 80 pounds, not as living between hands and feet. You have a new face, a new consciousness. The bandages are off from your eyes. You are the essence. And you are now claiming your divine selfhood, which you ever were. And it is this new self that walks into the world. It makes no announcements. Everyone is looking at their old concept, but there is a new you there, a different you. You really are changing from one to another in your consciousness. And as you do this in your consciousness, the transformation takes root. If we are all together in this, accepting ourselves to be the one divine essence everywhere, we're ready to move into high gear. You'll find that in the visible life of Jesus Christ, we have a complete sermon in pantomime throughout his lifespan. If he had never spoken a single word, we could still watch his deeds, his actions, and find a mystical pathway to eternal life and eternal freedom. Our biggest hurdle has been form. Because form focuses our attention on the physical sense of Jesus and the physical sense of us. And that's how we lose the great pearl. Jesus never was the teacher. Never. Jesus was the image through which Christ brings us the teaching. And when you know that the Son of God is Christ, the infinite essence Then, again, you are moving into another earth-shaking discovery. And this is it. The Christ of you is food for the soul of you. Just as your material body requires material food, your soul requires the divine food of Christ, the bread of heaven. And no other food will do. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. Those are the words of Christ. And so you see, the bread and the wine for which your soul hungers and thirsts is Christ, your own divine essence, the living Word. And without this divine food and drink, your soul remains undernourished. It cannot make the ascension into God realization. And that's the tragedy of all of the teachings that Christ is a human or a divine person. Oh no. Christ is your eternal substance. And as you let this divine substance feed your soul, the invisible highway of the Holy Spirit opens and beckons you to enter the city of truth. And then what is meditation? The real meditation is a soul feeding. Every meditation that silences your mind feeds your soul with the pure, infallible, eternal essence of Christ, which includes the love, the grace, the will of God. You can shatter the spiritual drought of centuries with this heavenly manna, letting it pour forth to nourish your soul with all that the Father hath. And so this is the real Christ to whom the world has been asleep. The eternal essence for which the soul of mankind is starving. But with Christ feeding your soul, transforming your mind, lifting you above the dream, sonship is realized. You may not have noticed up to now, but as Christ moves through the Bible, all the actions are symbols of how heavenly food can change and enrich your life. Science feeds us knowledge. Religion feeds us hope. And there are psychics who feed our human ego with information about our past lives and our future lives in physical form. But only Christ can feed you the eternal substance of divine life. And only Christ can shatter the world dream. Again, that is why the Bible repeats and repeats, Christ Jesus is the Son of God. It is making sure that we open our souls to the living essence of Christ, instead of opening our minds to human opinions and human authorities. across the world today, the starvation of millions of youngsters and adults, and vast areas across the globe also suffering from other lacks, water, energy, and whatnot. All this represents the visible symbols of the spiritual hunger and the spiritual drought caused by man's inability to receive the living essence of Christ, in which all things are. Without this food and nectar for our soul, there are no solutions to anything. So you see, the essence we reject by our ignorance of its presence is the only substance that can lift us into divine life, God government. And this miracle the omnipresent Christ is ever ready to perform. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Spirit is telling you not to follow a human being. Follow me. Don't follow someone dwelling in human flesh. Not even your own human judgments. But be transformed by a spiritual feeding from your own living essence, Christ, Son of God. And then, to clarify that mystical instruction, Christ declares, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. In other words, if you stay in humanhood, which is saving your life, you lose it. It only leads to death. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Can we argue with that? The clear meaning is that the transformation from a dying mortal in flesh to divine flesh, like Lazarus, is not only possible, but it's the path. The path ordained for us by God. And that is what is meant by disciples of Christ, those who live in the living essence of the Spirit of God. And if there were a still doubt, consider this. Immediately, right after teaching us to lose our human sense of life in order to gain our divine life, Christ tells us exactly why. Oh, we heard the words. But now Christ shows us what the words can only imply. And you know it is one of the most remarkable picture symbols in all Scripture. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ lifts the consciousness of three Christ disciples to show that form is an optical illusion. His form vanishes, and as it does, the light expands. We're witnessing the truth about every form on earth right there. That perfect invisible light of Christ. The precious light which can never be confined, controlled, or dominated by any condition in this world is your light now. And then beloved John informs us that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then the carpenter's son, who evaporated into radiant, indestructible light before the bedazzled eyes of Peter, John, and James, speaking of the priceless substance that can never know hunger or thirst or disease or death, turned to mankind and said, ye are the light. You appear to be the child of human parents, and that is called son of woman. But you are not. That's why Christ tells us to raise up the son of man. We must let our souls feed on the invisible light that is not born of woman, in order that our light may shine forth the glory of God. And so the kingdom you seek is your own essence. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Your own essence, the kingdom of God. Remember on the cross, speaking through the image called Jesus, Christ said, I thirst. This is a mystical thirst. And when it's understood and obeyed, it can take any individual into paradise while appearing on earth in form. Christ in you thirsts to fill your soul with God's love, grace, essence, purpose, and fulfillment. Christ thirsts to fill the cup of man's soul with life-giving essence, to transport you out of the wheel of nothingness into the glory of divine allness. That is a Christ thirst. And then Christ announces, it is finished. And that is the end of the message of words. It's all over. All that remains now is to reveal the dream of human life and the eternal reality of essence. The finished kingdom of essence is hidden in timelessness behind the shadows of time. The human image of Jesus had finished speaking but the sublime teaching, the climax of its earthly mission, was now ready to be performed in total silence. And so Christ buried the form of Jesus, made it disappear. But where could it go? How could it vanish from the grave? And that's the mystery of the ages that still baffles our world and still starves the soul of man. Where could what go? How could what vanish? Hadn't Christ already revealed that only the divine light was present where Jesus appeared to our human eyes? How do you crucify divine light? Can you bury divine light? Had not Jesus, Christ, consistently demonstrated that there's only one being? Can you crucify or bury the one infinite being? Now, either we reject the disappearance of the Christ body, or we accept the inevitable meaning. What cannot be buried was not buried. what was not there could not be crucified. An illusion could be crucified. An illusion could be buried. And it is this masterful demonstration of the illusion of all form that was revealed to an unperceiving world on that unforgettable day. The crucifixion and the burial took place in the world mind. And right there, Christ stopped the cosmic camera and said, "See, there's nobody there." Just as the Pharisees looked at the essence of Christ but can only see their inner concept of that essence, which they believe to be an external person named Jesus, the carpenter's son, so you, looking with your human eyes at your own Christ essence, see only the son of woman. And you accept the sensations of that form as your life experience. But even while you stumble along, watching that form age, watching that form struggle against endless opposing forces, the pure, perfect, immaculate essence of your own invisible Christ is present, waiting for you to wake up and to enter the kingdom of life. "I thirst," says Christ from the cross. "Give me to drink," says Christ to the woman at the well. Can we take that into meditation now? "I thirst. Give me to drink." How? "Be still and know that I am God." Open your soul. Let me pour my love into your heart. Let me embrace you. Let me take you to the mountain of truth. Let me live your perfect life. And then I will not thirst. For what man knows as centuries, Christ has been drawing you nearer to Christ. Until now, the prodigal is returning to the Father's house. This is an infinite feeding. The divine plan for you. If ever you have been looking for your purpose on the earth, you have found it. And if you develop your capacity to live in this innerness faithfully, consistently, Just like a child in the mother's womb, you will find yourself growing, developing new faculties. Until you are born in Bethlehem, the city of bread. I would suggest now that we re-examine our daily program and make some adjustments to include the two factors which are vital to transformation. Because the one word that I feel should be stressed and stressed again is unconditional. Being the Son of God means an unconditional surrender to the truth that you are the essence of God. And so if you were to accidentally cut your arm and start bleeding, you would not be afraid because the essence of God is not bleeding, the concept is bleeding, and in your knowledge of this, you would remove the power of the bleeding. And if the plane was shaken by the wind, you would know that the wind is not shaking the plane or the form of you in the plane because you are the essence. And you would stand still in that knowledge, knowing that the wind is not touching the essence of you, and beside the essence of you there is no other. Get it out of the conversation stage, out of the hypothesis stage, out of the mental agreement stage. Do it. It's in the doing that you find your capacity for unconditional surrender. Some of the greatest so-called tragedies of life lose their sting when you unconditionally recognize only the essence of God is present as the substance of all who walk the earth. And when you do, you will feel touched by the Spirit. Perhaps right now you can feel the living essence of yourself everywhere. It speaks a language that human ears can never hear. And the second factor, be a soul in Christ. Let Christ feed your soul with a life-giving essence that leads you back into the finished kingdom. And let's start tonight. Tonight, do not go to sleep as a human being. And while you're still fairly awake, meditate. Contemplate the essence of the one being. until you can truly say in your contemplation, I cannot be both the essence and the flesh, and I am the essence. I really have no human identity. No matter how strange it feels, it is true. And the more you become accustomed to it, the less strange it will feel. And as form, human identity, material selfhood, drop out of your consciousness, you are in a soul feeding. And should you attain this before you drop off to sleep, be sure of this, that feeding is going to continue while you sleep. And that sleep is going to be very productive and refreshing. Sometimes, of course, it is so refreshing that we don't need too much sleep. But all this is only preparation for when you awake. Because when you awake in the morning, or even in the middle of the night, your first thought on awakening should be your identity as essence, not human. To take you out of the belief that you are living in a form. Essence is not living in a physical form. That emerging new you is going to be the self you live with forever. So get acquainted with it. Now you've awakened, it's time to contemplate your essence. And you can take the first and second factors and dwell with them. Sip them carefully. Rejoice in the truth of them. Thank the Father for being the Father where you stand. Become aware that your essence is alive. It isn't depending on your form the slightest bit. It is already perfect. It needs nothing. It has all. It is you. And as you contemplate these amazing and beautiful truths, you are not only deepening your consciousness, but you are planting seeds not only for the day ahead, but for the centuries ahead. Now, sometime in this first morning contemplation, it comes to you out of the mist that you really are the living essence. And you now have a whole day ahead of you to practice it. If you want that essence to be your sufficiency in all things, all day, it is going to oblige you. But you have to keep your attention on who you are all day. That is the discipline. If you stray back into human identity, that essence cannot function through your human consciousness. And the time to catch it is right now, before you walk out into human identity. Because if your human identity starts moving before you establish identity as essence, well, you're going to just become another stray sheep. And your day will be something like trying to sip divine nectar with a broken straw. I tell you that first morning contemplation is where you make your unconditional surrender. Because unless there's a clear-cut, definitive acceptance of who you are, instead of a, I suppose I'm this, or I feel I'm that, or I'll just go out and do what comes naturally, you're going to find the human self taking control and dominion and just wasting another day in the mirage. The one who walks out into the world today, tomorrow, the next day, must be the new self. You can't play games with this. You must choose the new self or the old self. And you see, on faith and the realization of truth, you start living in this new self, not the old self, not the form self. You live in the essence self, and it's different, radically different. You've never had a greater challenge in your life. So don't start a day as a carpenter's son when you're not. But whom do you say that you are? Are you the carpenter's son? Or are you Christ the Son, the essence that is everywhere invisible now, uninterrupted, never separated from its own everywhere essence? Start the day with that knowledge. Now you'll find, if you do this, that at first you wonder how to enter into transactions and relationships and other things of the world, but your essence knows how. Trust it. Moses couldn't speak. Don't worry about it, Moses. Trust your essence. I'll speak. Moses couldn't part a river. Don't worry about it, Moses. I can part rivers. I can move mountains. Your essence knoweth your needs. Your essence will give you the kingdom of God on earth. Trust it by living in it. And even though you're tongue-tied, watch the miracle as your essence speaks through the form that people see. And even your human sense of self is amazed if it is still there. But we're only beginning. You can improve the quality of your soul feeding by improving the purity of your consciousness. And so the less world mind, the more soul substance. And you know what world mind is in you. Whenever there are personal desires, personal will, personal needs, personal judgments, personal attachments, you're in world mind. And you're really controlled by world mind. And you are saying to Christ, do not feed my soul. Another trap is that word becoming. Your essence is. It is finished. Stop becoming. You already are. Your essence already is the power, the presence, the wisdom, the substance, the allness of God, the only being. It is awesome to contemplate, but it is the truth. And don't try to dictate to your essence. Don't manipulate it. It won't work. Don't second guess it. Don't outthink it. Just learn to trust it totally, unconditionally. And if you want this house and not that house, don't tell your essence to get you this house or this client or this income or this job or this husband or this wife. That is not unconditional acceptance of your essence. Rather, trust your essence to know what your human mind only thinks it knows, and be content with whatever your essence places in your experience this day. And as you eliminate the world thought of personal needs, desires, will, and so forth, you release the magic of your own essence to bless your consciousness far beyond every human expectation. We're still in our morning contemplation. We're accepting I am essence. And because I am essence, I go forth today trusting essence to be present. Wherever I am, my essence is. Always present, always functioning, always blessing. What's the difference what I see out there? No matter what shadow momentarily beclouds my horizon, my essence is present. And my essence is the lamp of Aladdin. I don't even have to rub it, because it is always about the Father's business. Oh, there had to be a catch somewhere, didn't there? It isn't about my human business at all. It's only about spiritual business. And so maybe you had better think again about what you are getting into when you say, I surrender unconditionally to my essence. If you're into it, to let your essence make it a beautiful human day, forget it. Because that in you which is hoping for a beautiful human day is the you that is not the essence of God. That's Ananias holding something out. If you want your essence to improve your human day, you're in duality. You're separated. You're still hanging on to the grave clothes. You've got bandages over your eyes. You won't let go. You have no human identity. You have no human day. Uncomfortable, isn't it? That's right. It's very uncomfortable, very disturbing. And you either have what it takes to walk through that disturbance, that uncomfortable hour, day, month, or year, willing to lose your life to find it, willing to pick up your cross and follow the Master. No one ever said it was easy to follow Christ. No one ever said we follow Christ to make good human days. We are going to the kingdom of God where there are no human days. And the kingdom of God is now here where there are no human days. There are no human days for the essence. It only appears that way to everyone else. Are you the essence? Kiss your humanhood goodbye. And when you let your essence fill the divine day with its spiritual business, it will fill your so-called human days with spiritual sunshine. Spiritual sunshine. But only when you are not there to direct it into material channels. We're dwelling now on what is meant by not looking back. You see how Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt? When you look for signs in the human world that your essence is working, you're looking back to matter. And who is looking back to matter? You come right back into humanhood, which is a pillar of salt. You see how careful you must be not to give 99% to spirit and 1% to humanhood? It seems like such a big jump. But it's only a big jump to your human sense of you. The human sense that says, my business, my children, my marriage, my stocks, my bonds, my possessions, what will happen to all them if I live as essence? You know, I even feel embarrassed to answer such a question. I really do. Because no one can answer that for you. That's your hurdle. You must get over it. You must learn how to get over that hurdle or not. No one is going to help you to do that. I wouldn't dream of persuading you to get over that hurdle. You've got to persuade yourself. And in learning how to get over that hurdle, you will learn the great secret. But only when you try to learn how to get over that hurdle. No, I'm not going to tell you what the great secret is. You should know it. I'm sure you do. Materiality you're trying to protect is not the essence of God, is it? Therefore, what is it? Where is it? Are you going to continue protecting the dream? The dream form, the dream life? When the essence, the eternal substance, the kingdom of God is within you now, atheists who do not believe in God are higher than those of us who know that we are the essence and then turn away. This is the gold tried in the fire. And of course it takes quite a lot of something very special to live this in the midst of a family that is not living it. But someone in every family has to be first. And that might just be you. And then those in the family who don't quite understand it might someday be very grateful to you for having had the insight and the tenacity and the inner inspiration to do what they knew nothing about and couldn't have known if you hadn't done it. Because you can be sure that all of us who have in some way been led into the spiritual life have someone to whom we are grateful, who, if they had not made the so-called human sacrifices to step into spiritual living, we could have not found it at all. The pioneer might always seem to have the hardship. But isn't that a form of love, even though it may not be appreciated by anyone at the moment? Yes, the spiritual pioneer is moving into a new species, a new self, a new place in consciousness called the fifth day, the first heaven. The soul realm, where God speaks and God feeds and God loves and where grace flows as water from a mountaintop. I still want to hear from you whenever you feel like writing about anything at all. And when you ever get to these sun-kissed shores of Maui, I want to see you. And as we continue this inner pilgrimage, you'll discover that you are walking in a new universe where the enchanted presence is the only law. Your transformation is taking place. Once more, I salute you, the living essence of God, and I send you the love that already is yours. Thank you and aloha.